Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. I'd also like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Public Enemy Number 1, Part 2. Part 2. Well, on 10/8/22, that would be last Saturday, we discussed the carnage of gun violence and homicide that is disproportionately ravaging black communities. I thought, it might be in our best interest to discuss foods and beverages that shorten our already short lives. Is it as devastating as gun violence? Could our foods, beverages, and, you know, any other items that we might use, consume, having a effect on us in terms of our death rate, premature death rate? Because we already see blasted across the media about this black homicide rate, right? Which is bad. I just wonder, because we're only 13% of the population. So I just wonder, is there something else that we need to be also paying attention to that maybe we just aren't paying attention to? So I wonder how we became so comfortable with such products that might, you know, cause our or contribute to our untimely demise. How did we get there, if there are such a thing? You know what I'm saying? Because food is food. You know, food is good for the body. You have to eat to live and blah, 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 right? Gun violence may well be a public enemy for black community. But, as they say, there was more than one way to skin a cat. Can there be other contributors to the black homicide rate in historically underfunded neighborhoods and cities, basically your poor communities, right? Can there be like other contributors? We found that to the black gun homicide rate, there were other contributors last week, right? Yeah, but it could be something else that might contribute to, you know, I just thought about, you know, they contribute to homicide, and I just throw that out there. And so I did a little research, right? I just wanted to know two things I actually was interested in. Could food help, you know, contribute to the death rate in the community? And what is killing most of us here in America? Like, what is killing a lot of Americans? Because apparently for black America, black community, they're saying a lot of gun violence. And we're not going to even argue that. That's happening, and it's I don't even have the words for it to describe that. But moving on to this thing about products we consume or use, right? Because I only went to a couple of them. Because I could be, I guess, for the rest of my radio show life and somebody taking my place, we could be talking about that consistently. So, you know, I'm just was looking at what's killing people in the country. So, saw this from WebMD. Why 7 deadly diseases strike black people most of the time? The several diseases that strike Americans, black Americans, harder than any other than they do white Americans. So they talked about they need to invest and target health of black and target the health of black Americans. We need to invest in that. So black Americans, you can need to invest yourself in your own health, right? They have evidence so far to indicate that investments will pay health dividends, not just for racial minorities, but for everyone. So that says that these diseases are affecting everybody, but disproportionately black people. So I looked at the diseases. Diabetes, 64% more common in black American than whites. Blacks are 2.5 times more likely to suffer a limb amputation and up to 5.6 times more likely to suffer kidney disease than other people. With diabetes, black Americans are 3 times more likely to die from asthma than white Americans. There's an uptick on asthma. You know, I remember as a kid, it wasn't a whole lot of people. And now it seems like everybody and their cousin got asthma. That's from lung scarring at the sarcoidosis, right? Are 16 times more common among blacks than whites. The disease recently killed Reggie White at age 43. That's an athlete. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Despite lower tobacco exposure, black men are 50% more likely than white men to get lung cancer. Stroke kills four times more 35 to 54-year-old black male Americans than white, right? Blacks have nearly twice the first-time stroke risk of whites. Blacks develop high blood pressure early in life, much higher blood pressure levels than whites. Nearly 42% of black men and more than 45% of black women aged 20 and older have high blood pressure, right? And you talked about cancer. Black men have a 40% higher cancer death rate than white men. African-American women have a 20% higher death rate than white women with cancer, right? So why is this happening? Genes definitely play a role, they say. So does the environment in which the people live and the socioeconomic status, right? We talked about poor communities and things like that, right? Poor black communities, is gene, socioeconomic status. We have poverty, right? And the environment, right? Yes, racism, they said, and yes, racism. Okay, so for the people who said there's no racism, we got a whole lot of people that's throwing racism in the things where you don't even expect to look for that, see that. Clyde W. Yancey, MD, Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs and Medical Director of Heart Failure Transplantation at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. It says all humans have the same physiology, are vulnerable to the same illness, to the same medicine. Naturally, disease and responses to treat do vary from person to person, but he says there are unique issues that affect black Americans. So we are the same but different, right? So if these diseases impact disproportionately on black people, the causes of these diseases impact negatively on black people. We have many liquor stores, candy or junk food stores, and occasions that we use these items in celebration. It is a morning and afternoon ritual for children to visit a neighborhood candy or junk food store before and after school, where they load up on sugars and sodium nitrate and food additive laden foods, right? We shop at markets filled with foods filled with sugars, processed foods, sodium nitrate, and food additives, right? And that's with the coloring and stuff like that, right? So from Good Parenting, brighterchildren.com, they talk about the negative, 14 negative effects of sugar on kids and how to avoid it. I'm not naming all of them, right? I'm just naming a couple of them. They said pressure child's immune system, right? Imperious defense, right? So you know your immune fights off diseases and stuff like that, your immune system, right? Sugar causes hyperactivity in kids, right? Lowers concentration. Can cause a rapid rise in adrenaline. Sugar weakens eyesight, which I never even heard of. I never even made a connection with sugar and eyesight. But, you know, that's what happens when you read. You find out a whole lot of stuff. So, and who am I? I'm not a scientist, and I'm not the most read person on the planet. Anyway, so stop there. In many homes, the ritual continues as we prepare sugary sodium nitrate and food additive foods for nutrient consumption. Because we think that we're doing a good thing. It tastes good, smells good, you know. Theoretically, if someone wanted to cause the untimely demise of a particular group of people, it would be evil but logical to poison their food source. The best way to to poison a food source is through misinformation or the mind, getting the target to trust, believe that the food source is nutritious, good, pleasing, and for it to be habit forming. Corner stores are predominantly found in impoverished communities. In an article in the EPI.org, it said 45% of impoverished black children living in impoverished and historically underfunded neighborhoods and cities. This attribute contributes to the demand for the food source, which increased the sale of the food source, which increases the wealth of those who perpetuate this food industry. From the International Society for Orthomolecular Medicine, right? It said 30 years ago, it was observed that there were abnormalities in essential fatty acid metabolism in people with violent behavior. Perkunin in 1987 and subsequent intervention studies went on to show that this metabolic abnormality may have its origin in inadequate dietary intake. When improved, it could reduce such behavior, right? Violent behavior. Dietary intake of a wide range of vitamins and minerals, not only essential fatty acids, results in important reductions in violent and aggressive behavior. Why am I saying this? Excuse me. Because last week we talked about the violence in the black community. I didn't get a chance to even talk about any other of these type of attributes or contributors, right? They say it reduced violent and aggressive behavior in children, adolescents, and adults. Early life nutrition appears to play a key role in determining antisocial, violent, and aggressive behavior, with malnutrition at 3 years of age found to be a potent predisposition factor for antisocial and aggressive behavior in children and young adults. They said this observation is further strengthened by the observation that nutritional enrichment at 3 years of age reduced antisocial behavior at 17 years and criminal behavior at 23 years. That is something to think about. When you give your kids money to stop to the corner store on the way to school or when they get out of school, when you buy that big birthday cake that, well, for right now, I'd say it was the Halloween candy, that party you get ready to throw. You know, think about that, right? Years and years of this bad food that we're throwing up in our kids, right? And these people are saying, hey, food is, the wrong food is having a negative effect and even it kind of facilitates violence and antisocial behavior. Now, it's not me. You can read that yourself. Like I said, in the International Society for Orthomolecular Medicine. Check it out. ISOM, right? That's what they call it. That's the short version of it, right? The conversation said, crime and nourishment, the link between food and offending behavior, poor diet, aggression, and impulsivity. Now, we know we got poor diet because we see everybody running, you know, we run into places. We don't know what you get from the Chinese store if you eat now there all day. And you know, we know we're eating a bunch of salty foods, a bunch of processed foods, hot dogs, lunch meats, you know, and I grew up on that, all of that, you know, but poor diet, aggression, impulsivity, they said, here's what they said. They said, we're going to talk about this violence in the black community, we need to talk about all of it, and then we need to go beyond that, and with this type of scenario, because it's bigger than, it's larger than the black community, but it's concentrated in the black community, in these impoverished communities, I would assume, because you can see, like, store everywhere. It's stores everywhere selling candy everywhere, processed food, sweet cereals, you know, supermarkets, it's full of that, you know, so. They said they had the amount of nutritional food by available in prisons, and the dietary choice prisoners make has a significant influence on the quality of a prisoner's life. Consuming highly processed and sugary foods. Go to your check supermarkets out. You don't have to take much. Check the corner stores out. Can lead to sudden peaks of troughs in the amount of glucose in a person's blood, right? This can cause fatigue, irritability, dizziness, insomnia, and is even a risk factor for depression, particularly in men. It has been shown that a diet of whole foods can offer protection against depression. Whole foods, right? That's non-processed foods, organic foods, you know, not none of all the 7 pesticides. I don't know how many they put on in there. It was 7 the last time I looked. I haven't looked again, but 7 was enough for me. They said deficiencies in vitamins and minerals can lead to a number of issues. Low levels of iron, magnesium, zinc can lead to increased anxiety, low mood, or poor concentration, leading to attention deficits and sleep disturbance. Omega-3 is required to improve cognitive functioning, thinking, right? If your diet is unhealthy, your mind will be unhealthy. Your body and your mind will be unhealthy, right? That's what these people are saying, right? Recent government policies have recognized the problem of additives and high sugar content of food with the introduction of the sugar tax and moves to address the use of colorings, right, which have been found to have a negative effect on behavior and hyperactivity, not to mention that some of those colorings are carcinogens, right? A recent example of a UK government willingness to intervene in the purchasing decisions of young people is the outlawing of energy drink sales under 16. I guess you gotta be 16 to get that energy drink. Get that boost, that sugar boost. These type of problems associated with poor diet, aggression. The type problems associated with a poor diet such as aggression, attention deficit, and hyperactivity can make impulsive behavior more likely. High levels of impulsivity are connected with high and stable levels of offending, right? That's breaking the law or knocking you in the head in the case we're talking about violence, right? So, that's a short story, because I could do a whole show, but I'm trying to get through these other stuff. Can there really be such an evil genius, or are we simply victims of the greed of men? And maybe our own greed, you know, our own desire to be satisfied, you know, satisfy our palates. Are we, I don't know. Yet we have had drug czars, wars on drugs, and prohibition, while the so-called food industry body count dwarfs all other body counts. Now I know it's probably saying food industry body count. The hell is he didn't flip this way? Yep. I must be crazy. I'd rather be crazy than for that to even be true. Remotely true. We're going to talk about some of the things we deal with, and that's actually have a pretty large body count that nobody's protesting about. Alcohol and marijuana are now legal regardless of their secondhand effects we are forced to endure. Sounds like a case of profit over people. From CBS News, overeating or not eating enough of the 10 foods and nutrients contributes to nearly half of U.S. deaths from these causes, the studies suggest. That is bizarre. Contributes to nearly half of U.S. death? Half of the death? Are you kidding me? They say good foods that were under-eaten include nuts, seeds, sea-rich food, and omega-3 fats, including salmon and sardines, fruits and vegetables, and whole grains. Okay? I'm going to say that again. They say the good foods that are under-eaten, we don't eat enough, nuts and seeds, seafood rich in, like, fish, omega-3 fats, including salmon and sardines. And somebody must be eating a lot of sardines, because I go in there and my favorite sardines be gone. Anyway, fruits and vegetables and whole grains. Bad foods, right, or nutrients that were overeaten include salt and salty foods. Bad foods, right? Or nutrients that were overeaten include salt and salty foods. Processed meats, including bacon, bologna, and hot dog. Red meat, including steaks and hamburgers. And sugary drinks. That's messing up your Friday. Your whole weekend right there. Well, nowadays, it's messing up some people's every day. That's if you believe any of this. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. Do your own research. Don't trust me. Just listen and see what you get from it. The research based on U.S. government data showing that there were about 700,000 deaths in 2012 from heart disease, strokes, and diabetes. And on an analysis of National Health Survey that asked participants about their eating habits, most didn't eat the recommended amount of food study. So these people had poor diets. Our diets is killing a lot of Americans. All right? The 10 ingredients combined contribute to about 45% of those deaths, they said, right? It may sound like a familiar attack on the typical American diet, right? And the research echoes previous studies on the benefits of heart-healthy eating. The study goes into more detail on specific foods and their risks or benefits. The author, Renata Micha, M-I-C-H-A, right? Or Micha, a public health researcher and nutritionist at Tufts University, right? They came out with, it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, right? So that's big, that's a big deal right there. You're making it, you get published in there. That's something. Micha said 10 foods and nutrients were singled out because of research and linking them to the cause of the death study, right? Excess salt can increase blood pressure, putting stress on arteries and the heart. Nuts contain healthy fat that can improve cholesterol levels, while bacon and other processed meats contain saturated fats that can raise levels of unhealthy LDL cholesterol. Right? Salt was the biggest problem, they say. 10% of the deaths are linked with 10% of the death, right? Overeating processed meats and under-eating nuts and seeds and seafood each were linked with about 8% of the deaths. The Food and Drug Administration's recent voluntary sodium reduction guidelines for makers of processed foods and taxes that some U.S. cities have imposed on sugar-sweetened beverages are steps in the right direction. Those are baby steps. Just how many people's dying? That is a baby step. Maybe that ain't nothing. That's a slap on the wrist. Anyway, they said the study isn't solid proof that suboptimal diets are deadly. No, this is a journal. A journal editorial said that public health policies targeting unhealthy eating could potentially help prevent some death, while noting that the study isn't solid proof that suboptimal diets are deadly. You can figure it out yourself. You don't need nobody to tell you that. Just look at what your body needs. Look at the things you're putting in your body and Google them. See what they do, the harmful effects of whatever. Sugar. Look it up. Yeah, ain't nobody love a piece of cake more than me, man. I ain't had one in years. I love that chocolate cake, that yellow cake with the double chocolate. Man, I love that cake. The study's recommended amounts based on U.S. government guidelines, nutrition experts' advice, and amounts to be beneficial or harmful in previous research. Here are the good ingredients. Fruits, an average of three average size of fruits daily. Vegetable, 2 cups cooked or 4 cups raw. Vegetables daily. Nuts and seeds, 5 1-ounce servings per week, about 20 nuts per serving. Whole grains, 2.5 daily servings. Polyunsaturated fats found in many vegetable oils, 11% of daily calories. Seafood, about 8 ounces weekly. Bad ingredients. This is going to hurt, you know, a lot of Americans. Red meat, 1 serving weekly. I read someone said red meat was good. Steak was good. Red meat, 1 serving weekly. 1 medium steak or the equivalent. Processed meat. Processed meats is your bologna, your, hot dogs, the sausages. Y'all know, all that is not natural. Somebody did something to it to make it get to the point that it's in, right? So that's processed, and they got a lot of stuff in there. Because, right, if you butcher a cow that's not filled with chemicals, let's say he's, you know, free-range raised and no chemicals in it, he's not going to have a whole lot of stuff in it, right? Anyway, processed meats, not recommended. Sugary drinks, not recommended. That hurts. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts me like this, because I like a sugary juice, you know, as opposed to a soda. But I hear that the sugar in the juices, not good for you either. Salt, 2,000 milligrams daily, just under a teaspoon. 2,000, I didn't even know you could have that much of it, really, to tell you the truth. But that's bad. Oh, that is bad. So you can't have that much of it. Yeah. Salt, 2,000 milligrams daily, just under a teaspoon. So you're not supposed to have that much salt. See, that's under a teaspoon. That's bad for you, right? All right, so. The research on Yahoo.com, they did the same thing, talked about the same, it was the same story, actually. And the research is based on a combination of U.S. government data regarding 700,000 deaths in 2012, so. I just put that on it because it's another source. So then we have other products that kill, right? And the reason why I'm doing this is because I'm thinking, gun violence is taking a lot of people out in the black community. But we're only 13% of the population, you know? And that's something the black community has to be worried about. But then I'm just wondering, is there any other killers out there? You know what I'm saying? So, I started looking up this stuff. And some of these killers, I think we are very familiar with, but I guess what I'm getting at is, why are we so comfortable with them? Why are we so comfortable with certain types of death and other types of death we're not as comfortable with? Even if death is dwarfed in numbers, the death that we're not comfortable with. I don't understand it. And all the death, you know, man, I'm using the word death too much, but man, that's what tonight is all about, really. But, you know, with all this death and people dying, like, is it that we don't know What was that thing Ice Cube said? Either they don't know or they don't care, something like that. What is it? I mean, because, you know, anyway, I'm going to start with one that we know about. Cigarettes and death. Now, if you don't associate cigarettes and death, you need to get your head checked, right? Because I know a lot of people probably wouldn't associate or might not associate food with death, but I think a lot of people who have people, and everybody knows somebody that has some form of diabetes or on dialysis or something like that, you know. But cigarettes and death, you know, if you don't associate that with death, get your head checked out because I can't do nothing for you, all right? Cigarette smoking causes about 1 in every 5 deaths in the United States each year. Cigarette smoking is estimated to cause the following: more than 480,000 deaths annually, including deaths from secondhand smoke. So that's not just the smoker. They killing people around them. And, you know, I'm just making a point. Like, well, we uncomfortable with guys shooting people in the head, which we should be. Why aren't we that uncomfortable with this? 278,544 deaths annually among men, including secondhand, right? 201,773 deaths among women, right? Including secondhand smoke. Does that not bother us? Are we not? We okay with that? Because it seems to me, seems like we, the politicians, definitely are okay with it. Cigarette smoking causes premature death. We're from the CDC, y'all. Center for Disease and Control, just in case somebody listening don't know what that is. You can look it up. Life expectancy of smokers is at least 10 years shorter than a non-smoker, right? Quitting smoking before the age of 40 reduces the risk of dying from smoke-related disease by 90%, right? Secondhand smoke and death. Exposure to secondhand smoke causes an estimated 41,000 deaths each year among adults in the United States. That's innocent people. That's people who didn't make the, who have not made that choice, right, to smoke. Secondhand smoke causes 33,951 annual deaths from heart disease. So should smokers be allowed to kill other people? Yes. Nobody goes to jail for that. There's no fines or nothing going on with that. Because that says a smoker can kill you with his secondhand smoke. And everybody's cool with that. It also says you can kill yourself, and that's okay. I'm asking, is it okay? Increased risk of death among men. Men who smoke increase the risk of dying from bronchitis and emphysema by 17 times. From cancer of the trachea, lung, bronchitis, and more than 23 times. Smoking increases the risk of dying from coronary heart disease amongst middle-aged men by almost 4 times. This is the CDC. That's part of the government. Increased risk of death among women. So, you know, why are we so comfortable with being killed this way? Is it because it's not so immediate? Because if you see somebody suffering from these diseases, it's horrific. It's a nightmare. It's the kind of suffering you do not want to be involved in. But you may, because we got a lot of we've all been exposed to secondhand smoke. right? Increased risk of death among women. Women who smoke increased risk of dying from bronchitis and emphysema 12 times, right? Cancer of the trachea, lung, and bronchitis, and more 12 times. Between 1960 and 1990, deaths from lung cancer among women increased more than 500%. That's ridiculous. In 1987, lung cancer surpassed breast cancer to become the leading cause of cancer death among U.S. women. 2000, 67,600 women died from lung cancer. During 2010 to 2014, almost 282,000 women. 56,359 women each year will die from lung cancer. Smoking increases the risk of dying from coronary heart disease among middle-aged women. You can figure that out, like 5 times, right? So, my question, yes, the gun violence in the black community is alarming and sad and all of that stuff, but it's good that we're not okay with that type of death. But are we okay with this type of death? What's the message that we're sending out? Don't shoot me, but you can smoke me to death. That's okay. If I die from your secondhand smoke, or if you kill yourself with, you know, smoking, is that okay? And as you can see, the numbers are large. It's like deaths from specific diseases, right? It said estimated number of smokers aged 35 years and older who die each year from smoke-related diseases. Not going to go through all of them. It's a lot. I'm just going to give you the end result. For males, they have 278,554, which I said, right? Female, 201,773. Total, 480,317 deaths from all kinds. They got lung cancer, other cancers, cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, other heart diseases, cerebrovascular disease, other vascular disease, diabetes mellitus, cardiovascular, it's a COPD, right? Cancer, cardiovascular, metabolic, respiratory, parental condition, sudden infant death syndrome. Sudden infant death syndromes, right? Residential fires, right? Secondhand smoke, lung cancer, coronary, same stuff, you know. Other cancers include lip, pharynx, and oral cavity, esophagus, stomach, pancreas, larynx, cervix, uteri, the uterus of the woman, kidney, and renal, pelvis, bladder, liver, colon, and rectum. Also acute myeloid leukemia. Whew! Are we okay? Why are we okay with that? Other heart disease includes rheumatic heart disease, pulmonary heart disease. Other vascular disease includes arteriosclerosis, aortic aneurysm, and other arterial diseases, right? COPD, we all know that is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, right? Emphysema, bronchitis, chronic airways obstruction. So, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we have is someone trying to kill us or help us kill ourselves? I mean, what's going on here? We're kind of against drugs, I think. I don't even know if we're against getting drugs, because you have alcohol, you sell that, that's okay. People are comfortable with that. Now you have weed, they sell that, people are comfortable with that. You know, and I know they might have the natural argument about weed, but everything natural is not good for you. So I don't know. The word natural, I guess some people use it for people who aren't thinking. Anyway, from the Food Revolution Network, right? According to a new study, the School of Medical Sciences at Australia University of New South Wales, junk food can behavior by causing lasting changes in the brain, the brain's reward circuiting, right? And alteration that triggers obesity. And this is a hell of a study right here. I think this is the one, I think, of the year, the one with the rats. You know, so the study was conducted on rats because they are likely applicable to humans because all mammals share similarities in orbital frontal cortex, which is involved in sensing and evaluating the pleasurable aspects of food, right? Note, we also see more oversights. We also see more overweight pets these days too. That's interesting. You are what your master give you, right? Over time, animals, including humans, have evolved a simple mechanism that protects us from overeating. As we eat a particular food, the pleasure we get from eating it and desire to eat more diminishes relative to other uneaten foods. This phenomenon is called sensory specific satiety. Satiety, S-A-T-I-E-T-Y, right? Satiety, right? I don't know. Reinforces the natural inclination to seek out a variety of food, which promotes a healthy, balanced diet. With junk food, this is shut off, right? It doesn't work. Nutrient-poor junk food, termed cafeteria diet, is, in this study, contains fatty acids that are not only associated with mitochondrial dysfunction, weight gain, and tissue inflammation. You know, inflammation, you don't want inflammation, right? Because increased activity in the areas of the brain that processes motivational control and reward behavior, the pleasure center, right? All right, so they said in a study, one group of rats were fed standard chow, the other a diet of cookies, cakes, biscuits, and other junk food for 2 weeks. For you folks giving your kids a steady diet of this garbage, right? Or yourself, really. Think, please. They were then subjected to the Pavlovian conditioning test. That's a test where they use a sound cue that informed the rats of the next serving, right? So they said the rats on a healthy diet that had already eaten ignored the sound cue, right? While the rats on junk food continued to the next serving even after being satisfied, right? Satiated, right? That's the word they use. The junk food rats lost the natural preference for novelty, an effect that lasted even after the rats returned to a normal diet. So, in other words, eating junk food programs your brain to eat more junk. All right? We need to pay attention. We need to, because, you know, you might say I'm on a soapbox. Maybe I am. But I got a point being on a soapbox. It's just like, why are we doing this? Okay. Advertisements may have a greater effect on people who are overweight and make snacks like chocolate bars harder to resist, says Dr. Amy, lead author of the UNSW study. It's like you just had ice cream for lunch, yet you still go and eat more when you hear the ice cream van come by. So you never get enough, says Professor Margaret Morris, another UNSW team member. The rats on junk food diet had lost their natural preference for healthy food, the team added. So that if you got a child that only eats sweets, they've been a victim to this type of diet. I don't know what caused that. Might cause that. Poverty might cause that. I don't know. I had a friend, he was homeless. He used to eat Snickers bars. You know, that's not the best, but it's better than nothing. Or is it better than nothing? I don't know. The problem with junk food isn't just that consuming it begets unnatural overeating. It's also packed with unhealthy fats, toxic chemicals, hormones, mystery pharmaceuticals, fillers, and growth natural flavors like beaver butt juice. Now, I had mentioned that in another article. But I thought they had, I'm not making excuses. I'm not excusing anybody. I thought they had stopped using beaver butt juices. You know, because I think I did something else where I mentioned beaver butt juices in it. I don't know. Because I don't know. I have to do research to see if they even still use beaver butt juice as a sweetener. And you might be wondering, oh, he got to be lying now. He done flipped his wig. I'm somersaulting in my seat right now. But it's not me saying this. It's people from this article. But I did do a previous show where I mentioned this whole thing about beaver butt juice excretion. Well, so I thought, well, at least beaver butt juice is natural. That's a little jokey joke, really. Who can resist that? Natural does not mean nutritious or safe. Feces is natural. Would you want that in your sugary treat, even if it was sweet? Would you want that? Would you want to sweeten your Kool-Aid with feces, even if feces was sweet? Anybody's feces. You understand what I'm saying? So scientists have too much time on their hands if finding out if beaver butt juice is sweet is on the menu. That, what are they doing? What, you're supposed to be a scientist. And then maybe I really don't know what a scientist is. Maybe a scientist is like a hired gun. You take your scientific skills and you do the work that a person asks you to do. Because I know we like to think that certain people just are good-natured people. But anybody that's looking for a sweetener out of a beaver's butt, let me go ahead. Maybe we need to start meeting to discuss how to survive after work instead of going to the upscale, downscale, no-scale watering hole, the party or entertainment venue. Maybe we need to start talking more about stuff like this. You know, and I ain't saying, I don't know, people like to talk trash and BS and, you know, laugh and stuff like that, but I think we need to have more conversations about some real stuff that's really impacting on our lives, our children. And according to these guys, it's impacting on the level of violence in our community. Because we got junk food stores. Damn, is it every block? Damn, they ain't block. I remember coming up, it was every block. Y'all, a block, we had every block. It was a store, candy store. Only reason it's not as many now, because through a certain period, a lot of people got robbed out, shot out, and, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's another story. With an information source at our fingertips, We have no excuse for being ignorant. We don't. Everybody got, a lot of people got their iPhone. That iPhone, you know, I don't have an iPhone. I can't afford it. But, you know, I still got an information source at my fingertips. Some people have laptops, whatever you call them, you know, notebooks, whatever. You have all these resources at your fingertips, but there's no need for us to be ignorant about things. And we should be talking about stuff like this. Should be a part of our conversation. And it's not. So I'm going to encourage everybody to learn, baby, learn. You don't have to have a talk show. You just talk. Show up when you're talking to other people. And they're saying stuff that you're not walking away with any, if it's nothing you could do anything with. When there are things that need to be discussed that could help you. You know what I'm saying? So learn, baby, learn. That's what I'm going to say. And I mean that. Who knows what role food plays in the gun violence scenario, right? Who knows, right? From CBS News. We have heard this, we have all heard the saying, you are what you eat. And now, some believe food choices may actually contribute to anger and violent behavior. Remember, I mentioned that earlier, right? Just Risnick believes it. He even knows what sets him off. I can get irritable, absolutely, when I've had too much of the carbs, he said. Nutritionist Nicole Pace says carbs can make you feel good, but it doesn't last. They don't give your body what you need to cope with day-to-day stresses, right? She said there's a connection between anger and food. That's scary. Deficiencies in nutrients, magnesium or manganese, vitamin C, or some B vitamins may make a person hyperactive towards a stressor, a short fuse, so to speak. Pace and other nutritionists say if you eat plenty of fish, eggs, and beans, fruits, green leafy vegetables, you should have the nutrients you need. However, people who tend to eat a diet loaded with processed or packaged foods could find themselves more easily irritated. Let's go back. Go back to the kids every morning. What they going to school? What they buying? What are you packing in their lunches? I mean, they talk about drinking alcohol in moderation. We need to be talking about if you must eating certain types of foods in moderation, if not at all, because these folks are connecting diet to aggression. So now we had an historically impoverished community. I mean, historically means that it's like it's a rabbit hole. You don't see no way out. The top is too far for some people to see a way out. So it's historically impoverished, right? Underfunded. It's hopelessness. Then you have these poor diets that are connected to anger and impulsivity. Then you have guns in that same community. And we didn't even talk about how are these guns getting in the community. You know. But we will. Dr. Drew Ramsey says, it's all about the brain. The gears just don't run well, so you are going to feel more irritable, he said. Do I hear this? Because if you have any children you care about, this is very important. You running a daycare. Halloween is coming up. I know that's the time when we just grab our little bags, trying to get as much of that bad food as we could get as possible. That bad food was good to us because it tastes good to our palates. It was what we wanted. And apparently, It's what we all had to develop a habit to eat. Habit as in habit, like an addiction, right? Without the proper nutrients, the body can't make chemicals like serotonin, which is necessary for clear thinking and good mood. Being moody isn't the worst thing, right, that can happen. Deficiency in these nutrients have been correlated strongly with either increases in aggressive behavior and or violent acts. So I'm going to say this again, right? They said deficiency in these nutrients, right, have been correlated strongly with either increase in aggressive behavior and or violent acts. Because we have a very violent country here in the United States of America. So could our diet be another contributor? Diet, socialization, environment, media, influence. You guys, let's leave no rock unturned. I might have missed something. If I did, feel free to let me know what I missed. Anyway, back to the Food Revolution Network. Excuse me. They said obesity rates have doubled since 1980. In 2008, 5 million people were clinically obese with body mass indicates indices greater than 30, while 1.4 billion were clinically overweight with BMIs greater than 25. The United States is the epicenter of this crisis. Sounds more like profit over people, right? As currently, 2 out of every 3 Americans are clinically overweight or obese. So something's wrong with this picture. According to the historical atlas of the 20th century, 203 million people died last century from war and oppression. This figure includes everyone who had died as both military and collateral victim casualties from conflicts, genocide, politicide, extermination of people who share a political belief, mass murders, and families. That's an average of 2 million deaths per year, right? Now consider the World Health Organization estimates about at least 2.8 million people currently die annually from conditions strongly linked to overweight and obesity, such as coronary heart disease, brain stroke, and diabetes. Consider that. You know, my question again, like I keep saying, okay, they blasting all these homicides, this shoot going on in these cities, right? How come, why isn't some of this stuff getting some press, some, what's that, investigative journalism? Why is a guy like me bringing it up? In other words, conditions linked to overweight and obesity kill 40% more people than wars, famine, dictators, murderers, and politicians put together. All right? And U.S. is at the epicenter of it. I smell a rat. So it makes me wonder, are we not aware? Is it because we're not aware of this, of the death Are we not aware of the death or the sickness that these foods cause, these items cause, that comfortable with them? How does it work? I was trying to figure out, you know, because see, to me, we just, you know, our standard for preserving life, it varies. And in this case, it seems like it varies based on politics, which means economics. Well, 40% more people killed, died, linked to overweight, right, and obesity, and wars. Dictators, murderers, and politicians put together. That's alarming. We're protesting over, or do we have ourselves to blame? Why we, excuse me, are we? Because if you're just blaming yourself for that, that means from production to sale, distribution to sale, right? You have been responsible for that product. Because I know for a fact, we don't go around reading what's in a product and researching those words that we don't know. Say yellow 14 or something, red 5, red 6. You don't know what that is. You know why? Because we blindly trust people we don't even know. And I'm saying now we have to hold people accountable for poisoning us. What's wrong with that? Now, if I'm saying something that's far-fetched, crazy, I'll never talk about this again. But it ain't far-fetched and crazy. We need to hold people accountable. This is a lot of deaths. And if we are worried about, you know, if that's an issue, be on the news all the time. You know, homicide in the black community, right? And it really could be homicide all of in the United States, because this is a killing country. But I'm just talking about the homicide in the black community. It is a problem. But we got to look at these other causes of death that are avoidable. These are, most of the stuff I just talked about tonight is avoidable. Yes. You know, we don't allow corporate or interest groups to poison us in the interest of profit. Anyway, is it worth protesting over, or do we have ourselves to blame? In a way, we do have ourselves to blame, trusting the fox and the wolf to mind the hen house. Like rats, we poison ourselves daily, though we see sick and dead rats everywhere. You can see it. It's not like, you know, to quote the poet Noor, some might think that we deserve the sickness and death more than a gunshot to the head. Last time I looked, dead is dead. So why do we feel different about something somebody is pushing, making available to consumers that cause death? Is it because it tastes good? A gunshot to the head, ain't nothing good about that. I get that's a no-brainer. Nobody wants that shot in the chest. They shoot you like 10, 14 times nowadays. Get that. But how come? Why are we so comfortable with this method of dying? Because you get a little bit of enjoyment, maybe. I don't know. Help me out with that. Who's causing all these deaths? Why are products that are known to cause disease and death allowed to be marketed to consumers? Right? Are these people, agencies, politicians, corporations, and interest groups to be thought of as an enemy of the people, or public enemy number one? Are they? Because they kill a lot more. It seems that we are co-conspirators in our own homicide, suicide, genocide, infanticide, and you name it, on the side. You know what I mean? We, like, judging by this, the food, like, we just, what's that? They got this thing like roach bait or something. They think that the roaches come get it and take it back to their kids, feed them, and kill the whole family. So maybe people, maybe the numbers aren't enough, but those numbers dwarf the numbers of blacks killing blacks. Death appears to be a way of life in America, the way to financial gain, entertainment, socialization, recreation, self-medication, celebrate, and inebriate. We play with, toy with, and enjoy some form of death at some stage of the spectrum. Seems to be a culture, part of the American culture. My question is, where's the movement to prevent the sale of toxic, crippling, death-causing foods and beverages? Where's that at? And, oh, for alcohol, there was prohibition. Now we have no inhibition, just victims of our desires, cravings, and ignorance. And if you know and do, then it's foolishness, right? Nobody takes a... Nobody takes a piece of cake, candy bar, or a sip of a soft drink, or a sip of wine, white, brown liquor to become an addict, a diabetic, dangerously obese, on dialysis, stroke out, have liver failure, have the DTs or die. It happens, and it happens frequently. Deaths from excessive alcohol use in the United States. More than 140,000 people die from excessive alcohol use in the U.S. each year. Legal. Not even just legal, it's prevalent. Each year, deaths are from excessive drinking. Shorten the lives of those who died by an average of 26 years for a total of nearly 3.6 million years of potential life loss. Usually involve adults aged 35 or older and males, were mostly due to health effects from drinking too much. That's one set. Open your throat and poison yourself, because you gotta intoxicate means to poison yourself. Toxic is a toxin in poison. So when you drink it, you got to understand they're telling you that you are poisoning yourself, whether you want to believe it or not. That's what you're doing. That's what intoxicate means. To poison it. They were mostly due to health effects from drinking too much over time, such as various types of cancer, liver disease, and heart disease. All right, so you just opening your throat every time you get down, you throwing it down, or you sipping it all night, and before you know, you didn't sip a bottle or two. Leads to premature death from drinking too much in a short time. That's alcohol poisoning, they call that, right? Causes from causes such as motor vehicle crashes, poisoning involving substances in addition to alcohol. You take that pill, they take that pancake with that drink, take that or whatever you might take. You can take whatever you want with a drink. And suicide, right, accounted for more than half of the years of potential life loss. So life loss, y'all. Oh, we have a caller. Let me get this caller on here. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought, PT.
How you doing, man?
All right. How you doing? Okay.
All right. This is Marvin. Hey, I ain't got much to say, but death is money-making. You make money through death. Everybody's making money. It's profitable, okay? And then on the other side of that coin, we glorify everything. I mean, look at the ads and look at everything about wine, cigarettes. Everything's out there. It's glorified, okay? And you talk about fighting a gang, people shooting. We glorify gang war. Yeah, it's starting to stop, but back in the day, we glorified it. Everything that's killing us, we glorify it. So we are our biggest problem because we glorify everything.
Okay. So we are our worst enemy.
Right. We spend too much time glorifying and still thinking.
Right.
How many years they've been looking for a cure for cancer? They're not going to find it because how much money is being made through that?
Right.
So everything you're saying is good, but they're not trying to stop it. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to stop slaughtering pigs and not make money? No, they're not going to do it. They're going to keep putting pigs out there.
With antibiotics.
Right.
So they're going to fill him with all kinds of drugs and still put him on the market.
Right. So it's basically a money-making thing. Everybody's trying to make money. And nobody's going to think about doing the right thing. I mean, I bet you in our time we won't see a cure for cancer because
you find it.
How many people gonna be out of work? So death is being glorified.
You just said there's money in death.
Yes, it is.
Well, it seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
Profit over people.
Right. Right. I mean, I'm a diabetic. They got mad at me because I brought my numbers down real low. Oh, no, we don't want you to be down that low. You need to get back up in the danger zone.
Wow.
Because they're making money off of it. Everything's about making money to me. I mean, look on the TV, billboards, everywhere else, you see about cigarettes, about wine, about, all the bad things they advertise it.
Right.
Do you think they're going to stop doing that? I doubt it. That's a lot of lost money. You got to be strong enough to understand it and do something about it personally. But as a whole, people just say, hey, I enjoy it. I'd love to get my hands on a nice, good pig feet. Yeah, it might not be no good for me, but hey, it tastes good. So that's all I got to say.
All right. Appreciate you calling in, Marvin. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. Profit over people. It's a wonder that somehow we are under the impression that one drug is better than the other drug. For example, if we walk into a home with different bottles of liquor on the table, we would generally feel comfortable, even happy to see the different types of beverages, depending on who you are. But if we walk into a house with a half a brick of heroin on the table, we would feel a little nervous. If someone stated that they drink alcohol socially, no problem. If someone says that they shoot heroin socially, big problem. Yet alcohol addiction withdrawal can kill. Heroin addiction withdrawal makes you feel like dying. Deaths from alcohol, 44,000 deaths in 2019 to over 56,000 deaths in 2021, right? Heroin. 13,000 people died from overdose and heroin. I think this sounds like maybe 2020, they said. So then we have homicides in the U.S., right? 19,400 in 2020 on a wave of gun violence, right? So 13,000 from drug overdose, 44,000 deaths in 2019, 56,000 2021 from alcohol. That kind of stuff, like, you know, yet all this death and no protest. Where's the outrage? Does that mean that American lives don't matter? Does it mean that the gods of this world place money, wealth before ethics and morals? Well, according to the caller, exactly. That's exactly what it means. We hear more about deaths from gun violence than we do about deaths from food, sugar, sweet beverages, alcohol, and heroin. Fentanyl. Heroin and fentanyl use is destroying the lives of many, as evidence in Philadelphia's Kensington community, YouTubing and shit. Last time I looked, dead is dead. Is it okay to poison oneself to the point of disease or death? Is it wise to flirt with addictive substances that can cause disease and death? Is that a wise thing to do? They say what you could do, choose not to drink. We all know that. Say no to drugs. I think you need to educate yourself. You need to read. Find some literature and read. Say no to drugs, all drugs. If you don't trust, if you don't start using, maybe you never have to worry about victimizing yourself or somebody else. Even then, you aren't totally safe from that use. I just thought if we were expected to be alarmed and moved by death or something or somebody causing our untimely demise, we should be informed of more than just the obvious, people getting shot in the head, right? I've named only a few things that impact on our life, quality of life, and death. Do your own research. Make your own informed decision. Learn to eat to live as opposed to living to eat. Your body is your temple. Keep your house strong. And with that, I'm going to close the show. If there's no other callers, let me see if anybody wanted to say anything. We have nobody else want to say anything. Anybody want to say anything? Speak now or forever hold your peace, because we're about to go off the air. So with that being said, I want to thank all our listeners and callers. And I hope I've been able to encourage people to just at least read about the food that you eat. And what's this? Halloween's coming up. Think about that. Is it worth it? Every year, all these holidays, pushing all this candy on your kids, giving your kids all this money to go to the candy store. Really? Is it really worth it? Think about it. Okay? Until next week, y'all, I'm going to thank everybody. Mr. Kenneth Jones, We Talk Productions, Blog Talk TV, all callers and listeners, and of course, the creator. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.